When Musa Mayer was growing up, people would always say, "You're so lucky to be the daughter of a famous artist." But for Mayer, it was a mixed blessing. She loved and appreciated her father's work, but his obsession with painting left him little time for her. Mayer's father, the late Philip Guston, was a major figure among the abstract expressionists of the 1950s. The Museum of Modern Art is currently re-examining Guston's work in a retrospective of his drawings. Mayer has re-examined her relationship with her father in her memoir, Night Studio. Writing the book helped her learn more about her father after his death in 1980.
I suppose it was important to me because I grew up so much in awe of my father and so much, in a sense, eclipsed by him. And I felt very needful of a creative life myself, but very insecure about being able to produce anything of any value. I was so painfully aware of my father's genius that it was always very difficult for me to affirm anything that I myself was able to do.
Your father was a very intense man, very emotionally involved in his work, and I'm sure this created a great deal of severe mood swings. If the work was going well, that he'd feel very good, but if the work was going poorly, a terrible despair would fall over him.
Mm-hmm.
How did that affect you and your mother? Did you feel that you would catch his moods?
Well, as a child, I suppose I felt rather helpless and sometimes frightened by his mood swings. As an adult, I think I coped with it in an interesting way. I became involved with psychology and got a degree as a counselor and worked as a therapist for about 10 years or so. And often later in life, I would find myself in the position of being my father's confidant. I won't say his therapist because it certainly wasn't that, but in some ways, I think that I entered that field as a way of understanding and coming to terms with my father's mood swings, as you say, his anguish and despair. And I, for years, had a fantasy of, in a sense, making him better and making him more available to me.
You quote something that John Cage had said to your father once. I think this is a great quote. Cage said, "When you start working, everybody's in your studio, the past, your friends, enemies, the art world, and above all, your own ideas. But as you continue, they start leaving one by one, and you're left completely alone. Then if you're lucky, even you leave."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a need that you recognize
in
your father, to be alone in the studio.
Absolutely. That need to isolate oneself. Well, I feel it too in my own work. I've always mm-hmm. been a solitary person, and certainly for somebody who is as extraordinarily sensitive as he was, he needed to have a sanctuary, so to speak, a place that he could work alone. There's a wonderful story he told about as a boy hiding in a closet and painting by the light of a single light bulb, doing his very first work that way, and of his mother and father's family coming over for, you know, the Sunday afternoon chicken dinner, and everybody would ask, "Well, where is Philip?" And he had instructed his mother to lie, essentially, and say that he was away with friends, while all the time he was working secluded in this closet. And for him, and the symbol of that closet appears in a number of his later paintings, the hanging light bulb and so on. The need for private, personal, inviolable space and the possibility of in that space being able to transcend oneself, which I truly believe that he did, despite all the feelings of deprivation and so on that I report in my book, I am absolutely convinced that whatever the cost, my father was really able to do some of the greatest paintings of this century. There's no question in my mind about that.
How close were you with your father at the time of his death in 1980?
I felt very close with him at that time. We didn't have very much contact, but about a year before he died, he had had a very severe heart attack that nearly killed him. And I spent a couple of weeks with him at that time, just being there with him in the hospital and trying to help out as best I could. And I had, I think by that time, gotten over most of my anger at him and my resentment. All of my life, really, since I had left home as a child, I had been, in a sense, excluded from my parents' lives. I was given very clear messages that that part of their lives was over and they needed privacy and space and time. And so I wasn't able to be with him as much as I would have liked.
After your father's death, you felt, I think, kind of jealous of biographers and art critics who seemed to know almost more about him than you did. And in a way, it's from that angle that you've approached your father in the past few years. You put together a catalog of his works.
Yes.
You've studied his works very carefully. Has approaching your father as an artist, instead of as a father, given you new insights into him?
Well, that's what came first, approaching him as an artist, because that's what was accessible to me. That was sort of the layer on the top. But then, after a few years of cataloging his work, I started becoming interested in my own motivations for doing so and my continued involvement with that project. And I realized that there were forces within me that were wanting to know much more, wanting to know my father, the person, wanting to know things about his family that he had never told me. And I, in a way, approached it as a biographer. I went and interviewed people. I went back to Los Angeles and met the surviving members of his family and spoke with them and looked through old photographs. And as much as I could, I talked with all of his friends over the years and tried to get them to paint as intimate a portrait of the man that they knew. And I found that that's really what I had been looking for, was who he was as a person, because that's what had been most inaccessible to me.
And you feel you have that now?
I have it, I think, as much as it's possible to have, yeah.
Are you living with his paintings? Do you have a lot of his paintings or drawings
yes.
in your house?
Yes.
Can I ask you if there's one that has an especially special position of prominence in your house that you could describe for us and tell us what it means to you personally?
Well, there's a painting that I've had with me in one form or another for a good part of my life. It's a painting called Sanctuary. My father did it in the mid-40s, and it's a portrait of one of his students. It's a reclining figure of a man. It was done in Iowa City, and it's a very dreamy, melancholy painting where he is sort of staring in reverie off in the distance, and there's the city of Iowa City in the background where I was born. And it has a special meaning for me. It's now above the desk where I work.
And the meaning for you it has?
I guess it symbolizes the quality of creative contemplation that I think of as being so characteristic of my father. There's a wonderful Durer, famous Durer etching called Melancholia, which he always had hanging in his kitchen, which is a figure of an angel really contemplating. Well, it's a very complicated piece, but it's a contemplative piece that talks about, I suppose you'd have to say, the cost of art in relation to life. It's a very private thing and a very it's difficult for me to articulate. I realize. Yeah.
I like what you just said, though, the cost of art in relation to life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's finally what your book is about, I think.
Yes, I think so, too. That need to withdraw into that very inner private space to the sources of one's own creativity, and what a very ultimately sad withdrawal that turns out to be, however worthwhile it is, it does, I think, have costs.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Musa Mayer's memoir of her father, Philip Guston, is titled Night Studio, and it's published by Knopf. An exhibit of Philip Guston's drawings is on view at the Museum of Modern Art in New York until November 1st. This is Fresh Air.